This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Belisen as well. A lot of good stuff we're talking about today. Illini basketball, the question of the day at 359-2255. What was your favorite Illinois basketball victory this past season, and what do you think was the best Illinois basketball game or win this season? It can be the same, but we're just kind of asking you, so send that in at 359-2255. I mentioned to you before we get to Blake Woodard, the NFL draft will be coming up this month. Why can't they make that 5 days? I mean, I would watch it.
Stretch it out, yeah.
Trevor even said, well, when it gets to, like, the last round, I mean, who's going to be watching that? And we all looked at each other and, well, I would. I mean, I don't know why. If you had a chance, the NFL has a chance right now to be the spotlight of sports for as many days as they can stretch that thing out. I don't care if it's the fifth day. I'm sitting at home and I'm watching that, I promise you. Would you?
Yeah, I would. I ultimately would.
I don't get it why they won't do it.
3 days is a decent chunk still, but...
It is. It totally is, because they'll do the first round on night one, then they
second
do
and third.
Second and third, and then they do four through seven. I just don't know why, at least make it four. I mean, you could do Monday, or I said last week, Thursday through Tuesday, or what? I don't know. Make the first round on a Friday night where none of us have to work Saturday, and let's party through the NFL draft. Let's do that.
Let's make it a national holiday.
Yeah, I think that'd be fantastic. Today, by the way, was the day that the national championship was to be played.
Man.
And it's also Masters Week. And we get neither one. Man. Blake Woodard, Tuscola, we need some positivity, buddy. How are you, my man?
I'm doing good, Lon. How are you guys?
We are great. Tuscola native, he was a manager for the Illinois basketball team. He's now working for the St. Louis Cardinals. We're going to get into all that. Blake Woodard and his parents, the whole Woodard crew, they're huge Illinois fans. They tailgate close to me. So, Blake, I'll ask you this. This past Illinois basketball season, what was your favorite victory for the Fighting Illini, and which victory do you think was the best of the year for Illinois?
The best? It's very difficult to pick between... at Wisconsin and then at Penn State, because they're both really impressive. I personally, you know, I'm a very positive guy, but I didn't really see us going in there winning either of those. I'd probably lean Wisconsin, though, just yep. because we haven't won there in a while. My favorite was probably the Michigan game. That IO shot was awesome. I just wish I could have stayed one more year to be a part of that.
No doubt.
Taking a fifth year as a manager. But yeah, those three games really stuck in my mind. But really, the entire season was special. You know, sweeping Purdue, I mean, I didn't really expect that either. So a lot of impressive wins. But those are probably the two. The Wisconsin game was probably the best. My favorite was probably the Michigan game.
Good call.
Yeah, Blake, I wanted to ask you, what was that like being at the ground floor, really, of the rebuild with Brad? And were you as confident maybe as the team was going into this year after you had graduated that this was going to be a breakthrough? Of course, you saw some signs at the end of the previous season with the Michigan State win and the win at Ohio State. So how did you kind of see that? And did they live up to expectations? Did they exceed those in this past season for you?
In my opinion, they exceeded them. I knew coming in, I mean, it's funny because I'd always tell my parents, well, once I graduate, Illinois football is going to make a bowl. Illinois basketball is going back to the tournament. Well, that's exactly what happened.
Yes!
I knew this was going to be a tournament team. I did not realize that they were going to be top three, top four in the Big Ten. I personally thought probably their ceiling would be a five or a six in the Big Ten, and then probably in that like five to seven range. But you know, they really, I mean, I saw it last year with the talent we had. We were just so young, but we played a lot of close games and it didn't go our way. But this year, those close games went our way. And I'm really impressed. I think next year could even be even more special, to be honest with you.
You were on the staff as a manager, both with John Gross and Brad Underwood. John had a very good season this past year with Akron, winning their conference and was trying to make a push for the tournament had they won their conference tournament. Of course, Brad, Illinois basketball was on the way to the NCAA tournament as well. What was maybe the biggest difference or what did each bring to the table that you saw when you were inside of the program?
Well, I mean, they're both really, really good basketball minds, and they both work their tails off. Both staffs do. And I really appreciate working with each one. Obviously, when Coach Underwood got in, it was way more intense than Coach Gross was, which was definitely a difference. I think some of our guys definitely had to adjust to that. But he was building a culture, and once that culture was set, it paid off.
Right.
Because late in games, we really had that toughness down the stretch. And then once you have guys like Io and Andres and Kofi just making play after play out there, we really grew as a team. So, but both staffs worked really, really hard. Both great basketball minds, and I'm super, super happy that Coach Gross is really succeeding at Akron.
Sure. I was laughing when you mentioned intense, and I clipped the mic for a second to ask Derek a question, and the phrase I was looking for is statue of limitations, so I didn't get a chance to laugh, but Blake, you mentioned it, intense. I mean, you know, your statue's done. You know, you can't get in trouble now with Coach Underwood, but what was a practice like with Brad Underwood? Obviously, we don't want you to say anything you can't, but I mean, you talk about intense. He's a guy that coaches at a different level with regards, I think, to a lot of coaches in the terms of just getting in a guy's face or just saying something that maybe some coaches, I don't mean bad words, I mean just saying something that other coaches may not say. He doesn't mind because that's kind of the way he coaches, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he really, really cares. And that's the biggest takeaway I had was, I mean, I was coached by a really intense coach in Coach Romine at Tuscola.
Yep.
And so I sort of had a clue of that. Now, Coach Underwood sort of brought it to a different level. but I think with the intensity he brought, and I think, you know, our practices, they were tough. I mean, guys had to grind it out each and every day. And, you know, I think having such a young team last year, you know, it was a little tough. But this year they were used to it. You're a year older. And I think it really prepared him well for this year. But yeah, Coach Underwood, he'll get after you. But I mean, the second you do something great, I mean, he's patting you on the back. He's telling you how awesome you did, telling the team, hey, I need it like that, you know? So it was fun to watch, from time to time. But yeah, it was good.
As a manager, did you ever get on the wrong side of John Gross or Brad Underwood?
You know, so I personally did not, because I was always up videoing practice. So I would only hear it if I screwed up a segment or something. But in practice, yeah, it would be pretty funny. I think there was one practice we had a manager who was like on one of the pads and his phone fell out.
Oh boy.
In the middle of practice. And he got told. And it was like, what are you doing? You know, you find some funny things like that, and he'll tell you some smart aleck comments, I guess. But he's all fun and good. So
I love it.
Speaking of all fun and good, Georgie, very fun.
Yeah,
not often very, very serious. Brad can be serious and intense. Was that an interesting mixture at times in practice too?
That's a good question.
It was very interesting last year because, you know, Brad would be, you know, tearing into him and Georgie's back just smiling away.
Oh,
and
boy.
I'm just like, whoa, dude, like, what are you doing? but Georgie, he really brought out his intensity when you needed it most. And he was actually one of our more intense guys on the court. So it worked a lot better than what people would think, in my opinion.
we'd ask Io, or we'd ask other players after Io hit game winners, and they'd say, well, Io in practice would say, well, I'm Jordan, I'm Kobe, and I'm hitting these shots. Is his trash talk game pretty good, pretty strong in practice?
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, of course. He was always talking. I mean, even when somebody drained a shot on him, he was like, well, I'm going to do the same down at the other end. Like, he was always talking. Dre was always talking. Georgie was always talking. So, I mean, those three guys, they were so intense. They wanted to win so bad. They hated to lose. And that's the type of mentality you need. And it was really fun to watch. Some of our practices were really intense. So it was always fun.
And we hear that Damonte Williams is a funny dude, but we don't ever get to see it. I mean, is he truly that funny?
You know what, Damonte is actually one of our players that I got pretty close with, to be honest. He's a great, great dude, works really, really hard, and he is low-key funny, but he doesn't show it a lot. He doesn't love all the press and loves the spotlight, but he's going to go out there, he's going to give it him all, and he's one of the better defenders on the team, so he's definitely an important part. But, yeah, he's a really funny dude, though.
Blake Woodard, our guest, he is followed in the footsteps of Matt McCumber, a Tuscola kid that did right, correct, as a manager at Illinois. The thing you have over Matt, though, is you're a national title winner.
I mean, that was a really cool experience.
How good were you guys?
My buddies,
you blew out everybody.
We were really good. We did. Other than Michigan gave us a handful in our first round game in Minneapolis. For some reason, that game we decided not to shoot well, but we pulled it out, and that was a really cool experience. Again, thanking the fans. I mean, they're the ones who really sent us there with the Twitter polls,
right?
That was a really cool experience. When we won, one of my buddies, he texted me. He's like, "Hey, you can't tell me never won anything at Illinois anymore." I was like, "Well, good point." but it was a really cool experience, and all the coaches from Jeff was at every game.
Awesome.
Coach Gross stopped by. Yeah, actually, Allison, his wife, and Connor, his son, they stopped by. Coach P, Coach Parham stopped by. We were always getting FaceTimes from the current staff, Chin, O.
Those
guys. So it was a really cool experience, and all the support we had, it was really neat.
You guys would regularly beat teams by 30.
I know.
Did anybody go, you guys are taking this way too serious, the manager's game?
Well, I'll never forget when we scored 140 points at Northwestern. That was the greatest shooting performance I've ever seen. I think we scored 75 points in the first half.
My goodness.
And I think the final was 140-99. There was not a lot of defense played in that second half. But I'll never forget at halftime, they're like, "Hey, guys, we got to keep going because we want that record." I guess the record was like 136, so we got 140.
Well, you guys were like 1980s NBA.
Yeah. We were just running and chucking, Lon.
That is awesome, man. Blake Woodard, our guest. Well, Blake, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on today, you work for the St. Louis Cardinals in the ticket office. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I wanted to ask, well, first of all, I'll just ask you about that experience. I know I had a chance to see you last year down at Busch Stadium, and, you know, you were a smile from ear to ear. I know you grew up a big Cardinals fan, and to be able to then work for the St. Louis Cardinals, how has that been? How fun is that? And then we'll get to today's day and age with this COVID-19 and how it's messing with everything. But just the job in general, when you first got it, and even now, being able to walk to work at Busch Stadium, that's got to be a little bit of a smile that goes on your face every day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, growing up a Cardinal fan, this was a dream come true. I actually... the day after I graduated, I got a call from one of our former managers. He was a senior head manager, Michael Martis, when I was a freshman. And he was actually a ticket rep with the Cardinals. And he said, "If positions opened up, would you be interested?" And I was like, "Yeah." And so he helped me through that process. But yeah, it's been great. I've had so many cool experiences. I'll tell you two quick stories. So the first experience was, it's Hall of Fame weekend, and they just had their ceremonies out on the field, and I was eating in press dining. That's where we get food when we're working on game days. And as I was leaving, I was getting off my shift, and there's a guy in a red jacket standing next to me, and it's Ozzie Smith.
Nice.
And I looked down, and I was like, hey, Oz. He's like, hey, how's it going, man? And I was like, what a great ceremony. And he was like, yeah, it was. And we had a conversation for a little bit. And so that was really cool. And then the other story that you're really going to like, Lon. So in the bathroom one day at Bush, just our regular restroom during work, and I'm talking to this guy, and I'm looking at him, and he has a really, really nice suit on. I'm like, wow, this guy must be like upper management. But I'm thinking to myself, I know all of upper management. Like, I don't know who this is. And so I'm talking with him. We're talking about, it's getting down to playoff time, and we're talking about different playoff scenarios, things like that. And talking to him, I was like, ah, this guy looks familiar. He has an accent. Like, who is this? And finally, he says, well, it was great talking to you. Good luck in the playoffs. It hit me. I was just having a full-on conversation with Wayne Gretzky and did not know.
Oh, you're kidding me. Okay, in the bathroom.
Yes, at Bush Stadium. And so it was hilarious because I'm like, oh, my God, I just met Wayne Gretzky, like the greatest hockey player of all time.
Yes.
I'm like Googling him to make sure, like, and I'm like, yep, that's him. And I was like telling my coworkers, and we have a couple of huge hockey fans, and they went out looking for him, but he was already talking with the DeWitt. So they were like, yeah, we can't say anything.
I bet he left going, I don't think that dude knew. I don't think he knows who I am.
No, I mean, we were just talking playoff baseball. It was just, you know, a regular conversation. He's wishing me luck. And I was like, yeah, what a nice guy. And then I realized it was Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I mean, overall, the job's been awesome. I've met some awesome, awesome people, worked with some great people. Shout out to all my coworkers listening right now. I know a couple are. But yeah, it's been a dream come true. I'm super blessed, super lucky to work for such an awesome organization. And, you know, I hopefully here and at least a little long term. So.
Yeah, meeting Gretzky, man, the experiences we're missing out on with all the social distancing.
Well, no doubt.
Thanks.
Well, what happens now, Blake? I mean, you know, okay. I mean, I don't even know. I know you don't know, probably. I assume you guys have a lot of meetings and continue to stay on top of this and try to stay ahead of it. But what do you do? What are you doing as an organization, essentially, and especially in the ticket office with – you've already missed the season opener or the home opener. That's already passed. So if somebody had tickets to that game, for instance, and that didn't happen, are they just automatically refunded? And how are you doing it with, like, season ticket holders?
Yeah, so as of right now, I mean, I have 2 to 3 meetings a day, and we're still getting calls into our ticket office. We're actually working remotely, so they'll call, leave a message, and then we'll call them back. And then also people are sending us emails. So we're obviously answering all of those, but right now we're in a wait and see, and that's for all tickets. So right now, no games have actually been canceled. All games not being played so far are just postponed, like a rain out.
Okay.
And then MLB has the intention of, rescheduling as many games as possible. So right now we're just telling fans to hang on their tickets and just await further instruction as details are finalized from Major League Baseball as well as the Cardinals. Cardinals.com is the best way to view updates as well as our social media pages. But yeah, and that stands for season ticket holders, party suite owners, all-inclusive, you know, anyone who has a ticket. Now, if you bought from somewhere like a StubHub or Ticketmaster, SeatGeek, then all questions need to go to them.
Sure. Amen. And I bet you answer that a lot. Whenever I can, whether it be FindingIllini.com or StLouisCardinals.com, I try to get my tickets through that because if you get into a situation like this, then you know you're guaranteed. And I'm not poking fun at a StubHub or something. Listen, they're reputable. I just don't know what they're going to decide. But, you know, with the Cardinals, I have tickets, I think, for a game in May against the Braves. But, you know, I'm not too worried that if that doesn't happen, that I'm going to get refunded with that. And that's just something we'll have to wait and see. But I just can't imagine what this is like from John Mozeliak or Bill DeWitt, you know, all those guys down to a guy like Blake Woodard and what's going on there. Because, you know, the players, you know, they were sent home. And then it's like, all right, if we're able to play, I mean, they're talking about maybe playing somewhere warm for these games. And then, of course, how do you do that? Obviously, because it's not, nobody's coming to Busch Stadium. It's just a crazy time, Blake.
Yeah, it's definitely unprecedented. I don't think anyone saw this coming. It's you know, it's a different situation, but right now, you know, we're preaching positivity. We think there's going to be a season at some point, and I know from me personally, like, I just want something sports-wise to come back. I loved your idea of a 5-day NFL draft.
Ugh.
I'm a draft nerd. I would love that. But yeah, I just, you know, we're looking forward to the season. We think we have a really good baseball team, and hopefully sometime soon we'll get back to playing games.
Two final questions. When they have the promotions, does Blake Woodard get to keep every one of the promotions?
I get to keep most of them.
Yes.
We do get lucky and get a couple because of, you know, employees. They leave some back to them, but
well,
there's
should.
Sometimes though where it's like a sellout and we don't get them.
So. Okay. So you got to be resourceful there.
Yeah, right.
And then number two, would you rather, if you wanted people in Central Illinois to kind of work exclusively through you, is there something like an email that you'd want to give Blake, or would you rather they just still contact? And I know it's a weird time now because there's no games going, but when baseball gets back into full swing, and even next year, if somebody was interested in getting a ticket, is it wise to go through you or just contact thecardinals.com?
Yeah, no, feel free to contact me. My email is bwoodard@cardinals.com.
Okay.
So,
bwoodard, and it's W-O-O-D-A-R-D, not Woodward. bwoodard@cardinals.com.
Correct. Yeah.
See, that's kind of cool just to have that email.
Like, yeah.
I need a LT@cardinals.com. Maybe I could create that. Well, listen, Blake, you're a good kid. I mean, and it's fun to always to catch up with you. And I love seeing you at Illinois games. And I know that you've got a job that is keeping you smiling, and I love it. And I hate it for everybody in the world, essentially, and especially baseball fans that don't have a friend every night to watch. So keep up the good work. I know when things get going, it's going to be hectic for you, but I'm positive that you're going to do a great job with it, buddy. So thanks so much for the memories.
Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. You know, appreciate having me on. And, you know, just we'll get through this, and we'll be playing baseball sometime soon, Lon.
Amen.
So hope to see you soon.
Amen. And the next time you run into Gretzky, tell him we'll take him on the show if he's bored.
Yeah, I'll let him know.
Thanks, Blake. Appreciate it, buddy.
Of course. Have a good one, guys.
All right, man.
Thanks,
Blake Woodard, former Tuscola Warrior, and, of course, a manager at Illinois and now working for the St. Louis Cardinals. That would be funny to all of a sudden say, oh, crap, I was just talking to Wayne. I mean, Wayne Gretzky's stats, and we're going to do this. Are we in for this? Are we full in, Trevor, on this thing for the stats later this week?
Sure.
So what we're doing, I don't know, I sent you guys the rundown. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it because I left work a little bit after that, but essentially what we're doing, and I'm going to tease it and tell you what we're going to do later this week, and it has something to do with statistics and records in sports, and we're going to do it a little bit later this week because really, I mean, we got to figure something to do. There's no doubt about that. So I thought of this, and I'll tell you why I thought about it when we come back. But also, what was your favorite Illinois basketball win this past season, and what do you think was the biggest Illinois win this past basketball season? It can be the same. 359-2255. That's 359-2255. When we come back, we'll read your best and favorite, and then we'll tell you ours. And we'll do it next. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. Your heating and cooling system works hard for you all year long to keep you and your family comfortable. That's why it's important to have it maintained and serviced regularly. Our techs are ready to help you with all your indoor air quality, humidity, and filtration needs. Visit LandsInc.com today for specials on a brand new train system for your home and to see for yourself why it's hard to stop a train. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Game Day Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, is now offering great deals online to all of Illini Nation. Introducing their biggest online sale ever. T-shirts starting at just $15, crewnecks starting at $20, and hoodies starting at $25. Hundreds of other items are 20% off with free shipping on orders of just $50 or more. You won't want to miss out on these amazing deals. Head to GameDaySpirit.com/sale today. That's GameDaySpirit.com/sale.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
This is your year for impeccable flooring style. Flooring Surfaces brings fresh looks from around the world to Central Illinois. And right now, we're offering deep discounts on all the floors you want. You'll save big on Italian porcelain tile, beautiful hardwood floors, waterproof vinyl, soft and durable carpets, and fantastic backsplash mosaics. If it's in stock, it's on sale now. And with over 1 million square feet of flooring in stock, you'll find the right look to fit your style and budget. Combine excellent selection with free design assistance, free estimates, professional installation service, and financing options. It's easy to see why Flooring Surfaces has your floor covered. See us today at 401 East Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-597-0315. That's 800-597-0315. 800-597-0315. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
With a Marcus by Goldman Sachs no penalty CD. There's a typo, a fixed rate guaranteed, and no penalties if you withdraw your balance early?
That's right, no penalties.
Really?
Take two.
With a Marcus by Goldman Sachs no penalty CD, you get a fixed rate of 1.7% for 7 months. There are no penalties if you withdraw your balance early, and you keep the interest you earned. You can money with Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Learn more at Marcus.com.
$500 minimum balance required to earn stated annual percentage yield, which may change before account is funded. May withdraw full balance beginning 7 days after funding. Rates as of March 20th, 2020. Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
No on the sabermetrics. N-O. All right, it's The Drive. Lonte, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise.
All-time highest spin rate.
Ooh!
Let's create a sabermetric called N-O.
N-O.
No plus.
Well, that's fine. That'd be the only one I understood. So here's what we're doing this Thursday and Friday, and here's why that I decided this, besides the fact that we have zero sports to watch, and we have to think of things now to talk about. So Tom Dempsey passed away, and for a lot of you, you remember that he had the longest field goal in football for a long time. He had a 63-yard field goal, and forever. I remember growing up forever knowing, Tom Dempsey had the longest field goal in the history of the NFL, and I think football in general. And as I was reading the article about him, it said that Matt Prater had kicked a 64-yard field goal, and I forgot all about that. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many little stats like that or records like that that I have forgotten.
Superlatives.
Correct. That I've always thought, you know, if you asked me in 10 years, if I wouldn't have read that article, in 10 years, if you asked me who's kicked the longest field goal ever, I'd say Tom Dempsey. And you'd be like, well, you're wrong. It's Matt Prater. So what we're doing is we're going to break this down starting Thursday and Friday, and we're going to take it in chunks. So Derek has all of college basketball. We're going to look up stats, anything relevant, any cool kind of stat you can find. You've got college basketball, Illinois basketball. So we'll go through leading scores. We know Deion's number one. Who's 2 and 3? Leading rebounders, etc.
Top in a season.
Yeah, in a season. So you'll do college basketball, Illinois basketball, and you also have the NBA and Major League Baseball. That's a lot. Man.
It's a big undertaking, but I'm up for the challenge.
Do you want
me
to do some of the... Well, okay, yeah, we may want to
jump. Like Major League Baseball.
We could. Yeah, let's do that. How about I do...
Pitching or hitters?
I'll do hitters.
Okay.
I'll do hitters. All right, Trevor's got college football, Illinois football, and NFL. So he's got all of that. So you got all football. And then I'm going to do PGA, NASCAR, and I'm going to do the... Now I'm going to do Major League Baseball hitters, and then I'll do the rest of Illinois sports, kind of the non-revenue sports, if you will, and kind of some cool records. Craig Virgin was a great runner at Illinois, kind of things like that that I'll kind of dig into. So Thursday we'll start it. We'll do that the entire show Thursday, and then we'll also do it part of the show Friday, and we'll break it down.
We'll guarantee our listeners will never lose in sports bar trivia ever again.
That's the goal. That is the goal behind this, because I think we all think that we know who hit the most home runs or who's done this, but in a way, in your mind, it's like, oh, I forgot about, like, the most victories of a pitcher, you know, or whatever. So we're going to break all that down.
Luckily, victories don't matter. It's quality starts.
And right. Yeah, now we're going to go quality starts. And war, if somebody doesn't do war, then I'm going to be really upset.
The highest war?
0 sabermetrics. They are not allowed in this.
Fine.
This is old school stats.
You can't find it on a baseball card.
Correct.
It's not allowed.
Good call. All right, so we're going to get that done Thursday and Friday. It should be a good time doing that. All right, let's get to our segment here, or a question we asked all of our listeners about favorite Illinois basketball win this season and then best win in your mind.
And this segment is brought to you by Honda BMW Champaign. For a wide selection of new and used vehicles, check out Honda BMW Champaign at the corner of Neal and Burwash and Savoy and online at drivechampaign.com.
Trevor, do you have these pulled up? Would you want to roll
the
through
text?
Them?
Sure.
Why don't we? It starts back at 4:29. Was the first one
that's
sent
very
in?
Very specific.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how I do it. You know.
Okay. 4:29 at 217. Texter said best win was at Wisconsin. Favorite was versus Iowa.
Okay.
And as I go through here, that seems to be.
I think there's going to be a lot of favorite against Iowa.
Yes.
Yeah. That seems to be the consensus. Iowa. Oh, and Allen can eat it. That's from Jake.
Oh boy,
Jake the Jackhammer.
Yeah, Jake had Iowa and Iowa. So best win against Iowa, okay. And favorite win against Iowa.
Jim and Muhammad said his favorite win was Purdue both times.
Okay,
and then the best win was at Wisconsin.
I like the favorite beating Purdue twice.
Charles said his favorite game was Iowa at home, and then the biggest win was dropping Penn State, and Iowa's return flipped the script on the rest of the season.
Boom.
Best wins were at Wisconsin and Penn State from a 217 texter. Favorite win was at Michigan.
Okay.
Someone said, why do I say hell? I should say heck. I appreciate that.
But he said, why do all of us
very
say
sorry.
That?
Sorry.
Yeah, we apologize.
Let's see. it was a very simple text, but I appreciate it from Heath. I thought we were really good when we won at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That is definitely true, Heath.
Agreed.
Best win was Iowa's dagger against Michigan. Favorite was Kofi's block against Iowa.
Yeah.
Best win has to be Wisconsin at the Kohl Center. Lon won't even watch when they play at the Kohl Center.
That's so true. That's
probably a good argument for that. Let's see. Bart said his favorite moment was Iowa puking, and the best moment was at the stinking Badger.
Boom.
So stinking and puking. Justin says he was at the Purdue game and thought there was no chance of a win, and we dominated that second half at Purdue.
Yeah.
And that's when he knew we were going dancing, and there you have it.
Okay. So that's what we've got so far.
Lots of Iowa, Wisconsin, a little bit of Michigan, a little bit of Penn State, a little bit of Purdue.
Okay. So now we'll the three of us will list what we think was the best win and also what we thought was our favorite win. Do we want to start best or favorite?
Let's go best.
Okay. The best win for me was Madison, Wisconsin. Number one, you hadn't beaten them in, what, 14 tries? And you're on the road to boot in an arena that you have just never fared well. Even if you're not playing Wisconsin, you haven't fared well at Kohl Center. So for that team to go up and win 71-70, and if you remember in that game, there were a couple of big threes. Trent hit one right in front of the bench. That was a big three. And then, of course, Io knocks down the shot with Brad Davison guarding him, coming off the screen, and Io kind of does a little bit of a Michael Jordan on Craig Elo and says, get out of my way, and then he knocks down the three and then just points at his veins. And of course, at the end of that game, Wisconsin, Georgie missed the free throw. I think he just missed one. It was the front end of a 1-1. Shocking that you're not in the double bonus at Wisconsin, and that was another thing about that game. The fouls were ridiculous, but Georgie misses it, and I'm thinking in my head, here we go. This is Wisconsin to a T. They're going to come down and knock in a last-second shot. And it turned out that who was the guard that had the brother that played at Michigan State, Trice, drove the lane, and Georgie jumped straight in the air. He missed the shot. Kobe King gets the rebound in a scrap, throws up about a 22-footer that doesn't fall. And, of course, the ball was going out of bounds, and Io saved it, but they ruled it the game over. So, to me, that was the best win of the year for Illinois, because I think coming off where you had gotten blown out at Michigan State, you had lost at Missouri, you lost at home to Miami, you had beaten Michigan on the road, and, of course, you lost that lead at Maryland. I feel still, going into that game, like this Illinois team didn't really have an identity and didn't quite know how good they were. And winning at Wisconsin, that game to me said, okay, this team, I think Brad Underwood got doused and had to come to the post game in like a T-shirt, right, because he was soaked. So I think that was the game that kind of told this team, all right, we are good enough to make the NCAA tournament. Now we need to start picking it up from here.
It's a good choice.
Yeah.
I think there are a couple different ways you can interpret it best, and I agree there's a big case to be made for Wisconsin. Also, Penn State being a top 10 team on the road and the way it changed your season.
Yes.
But I'm going to interpret it as maybe the best that Illinois played in a game or a best stretch at Purdue.
Okay.
Another place where you hadn't won in a really long time. I think it's the best environment in college basketball. You blew them out by 17. And, of course, you were down by one in the first half. At halftime, Allen had been ejected.
Oh, that's right.
But that second half, Illinois never played better than they did in the second half. They scored 50 points,
man,
in the final 20 minutes against a team that was top 15 defensive efficiency.
Wow.
Io had 11 dimes. That really started, or was a big part of the pick and roll, him starting to make decisions, found Kofi. Kofi had a huge game, 22 and 15.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And you could hear the fans in the stands like, Kofi, like, this dude, and they know what big dudes look like over at Purdue. So for them to be mumbling about an Illinois big guy, a little different. And then Illinois is a little different when Trent Frazier's making threes. He hit five of them.
Wow, in that game.
Yes.
And, of course, Io had a couple daggers that weren't last-second shots, but it seemed like twice when Purdue, all of a sudden, felt like they were maybe going to make a run. Io knocked down a couple of mid-range jumpers, and you felt safe at that point.
Right.
That's a good breakdown of that. That's true. And after that game, Purdue fans are going, well, I hope he leaves after 1 year, Kofi. Well, guess what? I don't think you're going to get your wish. All right, what did you think was the best game, Trevor?
See, I was attempting to zig while you guys zagged and took it literally as best, and then Derek stole exactly what I was
going to say. That's fine.
That's okay. Great minds think alike. I mean, I really think that was Illinois' best, unless you want to say Purdue at home,
right?
Which was another game, but that felt more like Purdue was just awful that night than Illinois was A-plus that night. I mean, they scored 79 points at Purdue, and they never scored more than that the rest of the season.
That's crazy.
So I would say that if you're going best, as in the literal definition of the word best, it was at Purdue.
Good call.
Best in terms of just maybe most important.
Impactful.
Most impactful is like a totally different category.
Well, that's true.
Because honestly, I could sit, you're going to laugh. I'd sit here and make the argument that Nicholls State was important.
Okay.
Because you almost lost and were 0-1 before a two-game road trip.
Oh.
And then you won in overtime.
That's fair.
It sounds like I'm being goofy, but I'm not.
I get it.
I would argue that game was important. I would argue that the Miami loss was important in a sense.
Yeah.
I would argue that the Michigan home game after the Miami loss followed by the Maryland loss was important.
Yeah, do we sleep on that one a little too much?
On the Michigan?
I mean, it proved you could think about after the Maryland game, you don't really know where they're at that point.
Well, that's true because you just gave up a big lead on the road. You were up 15. You got to be feeling like you might as well just stop the season.
We said that game was a must win.
And Michigan was number five in the country.
And they were fifth in the country. I think we're sleeping on that a little bit.
And you beat them by 10.
Ooh. And I had forgotten until I just looked that you had, I forgot about this. You had lost four straight games. Iowa at home, or I'm sorry, out on the road at Iowa, at home to Maryland, at home to Michigan State, and then at Rutgers. You'd lost four straight before you beat Penn State on the road.
And you didn't think I was going to play.
Oh, that's right.
At Penn State either.
So I could see how, I mean, you could make an argument for three or four or five of these games being the best.
For impactful.
For impactful, there's
no doubt.
But yeah,
for best, I think it's hands down at Purdue.
Okay, that's fair. Now, favorite game. Favorite game in my mind, there's no doubt. Now, I loved every dagger that Io hit, and I loved winning at Wisconsin, and I could watch that game over and over. But when Illinois came out and destroyed Purdue at State Farm Center, 63-37, that's the lowest point total I think Purdue has ever scored. And that will sit in that record book for a long time in West Lafayette. And I love the fact that that is a stat that they're not going to update for a while.
It's a good one.
So that was probably my favorite game because
really?
I enjoyed every second of beating Purdue. Because keep in mind, Purdue and Illinois are always so kind of similar. And the last, you know, that decade that Illinois went on a run where they were winning everything, it almost seemed like that momentum kind of shifted over to West Lafayette. I know Wisconsin has played at an elite level and Michigan has and Michigan State continues to, but Purdue kind of took the reins from you of, I feel like you're two comparable programs, and they took the reins from you and started kind of dominating this little notion of we're going to finish above Illinois every year. This year, to me, was a big move in the sense of you're moving the needle back towards Champaign, and you did it with a 63-37 win over Matt Painter. And I hope now that with Matt Harms leaving and a couple of guys off Purdue, I hope now that Illinois kind of dominates that series for the next 5 years or even 10, and we kind of change that rhetoric. That'd be fun.
I'd
so
probably
that kind of made
that
it fun to me.
Most consistent.
Yeah.
In terms of 40 minutes, right? Because even at Purdue, you were trailing after one half.
That's true. I don't know. There was a sense of satisfaction after that game against Purdue when you held them to 37 points. There was a sense of a lot of frustration of losing even Lewis Jackson going there.
So you're saying like demons exercise type of thing.
Etwan Moore and Robbie Hummel, whose grandparents went to Illinois, and Lewis Jackson, when you needed a point guard, and we didn't trust having a smaller point guard, and he goes there, and Brian Cardinal, who never lost to Illinois, there were just, that's a good way to put it, there were a lot of demons that were just like, just out of my body after you slammed them 63-37, and that was a game where Matt Painter was like, what are we supposed to do?
That's the only game of the year I missed, because I was sleeping in an airport that night.
Oh, man.
So not a good night for you.
I couldn't tell you. I've never gone back to watch that.
You have. Oh man, they just
never
thoroughly destroyed.
You could
have
told me Kipper scored 60 of those 63, and I'd have to believe you.
I think that Travion Williams had 2 points, and I thought he was going to give us a battle, and I think he had 2 points.
Well, and that was coming off of that like triple overtime game against Michigan where he scored like 45.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He may have had more than two, but I remember he was not a factor.
Six
points. He was not a factor at all in that game. And you're right, he'd had a big one. All right, how about your favorite?
Speaking of exercising demons, I'm stealing your best win. My favorite win is at Wisconsin. How many times I had made that trip up to Madison. It's not even a game. You're like, why is Khalil Iverson going off against Illinois? It just doesn't make any sense.
After singing the national anthem.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Good call. Now Sam Decker's
I was going to say, Olivia Decker sang the national anthem, so it started off really good.
Yeah.
Knew it was going to be a good night. And, the way that went, where Illinois was leading, but the fouls continued to rack up, and as you got closer towards the finish, it's like, man, Illinois is going to find a way to let this one go. And they had just beaten Purdue, but the Missouri loss was still kind of fresh, and you didn't know how legit this Illinois team was. A win on the road would really solidify, okay, this team is on the road in an NCAA tournament. That Io shot.
Mm.
It was George.
It was.
The stop.
pull up,
everything.
It was the Jordan shot, the first of the number of game winners that he hit, and then just a couple of those shots late where Trent gets found, and Trent didn't make anything that entire game. Makes a corner three. Alan Griffin sat for a large stretch of that game, hit two big threes late. I just thought that really set the tone. And Illinois was the only team that went to Kohl Center and won
incredible
that entire season.
Incredible. And yet Wisconsin still wins a Big Ten title. Things that make you puke. How about that? All right, Derek, or Trevor, sorry. I'm looking right at you and called you Derek.
For some reason, I feel like favorite has to be something I experienced.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, so favorite's favorite.
I'm not counting road games. I don't know why.
Okay.
I just feel like for favorite, it has to be something like all-encompassing.
Fair.
So for me, that would either be Michigan in December, just because that was fun. There was a lot of... That was an entertaining game, right?
Well, like, it kind of told you, like, we're going to have some fun this year.
Right, there was, like,
Farm
Georgie's
Center
baseline dunk. Kofi had a few alley-oops. It wasn't fun to see a ref get clocked by Kofi, but it was notable.
Yeah.
So that game was, like, entertaining to be notable at. And then right up there was Indiana, one-point win, and
yes,
Iowa to close the year. I'd probably go Iowa.
Okay.
Just in terms of if you factor in the context of what it meant.
Right.
That building was rocking. You hated Iowa so much from earlier in the year. It would seem like a legit natural rivalry brewing, and then you get the double bye. If you factor all that in, that's probably my favorite.
That's fair.
But I feel like Indiana's pretty... That was a sneaky, entertaining game, and then Felice's late steal. I mean...
Yeah. Who was the kid, the guard for Indiana, that just could not miss that night? He had like 18 for them, and I cannot think of his name.
Well, it wasn't Smith.
It wasn't Fennessy, and it wasn't Smith. I thought Smith was going to...
Was it Al Durham?
Al Durham.
Well, Al Durham hit some threes. But early on...
Devontae Green.
What did he end up with that game?
11 points.
That's it?
2 for 4 from deep.
Oh, he must have had 11 early, because it seemed like he would just, every time Illinois would go on a run, and yeah, you're right, and any time you beat Indiana.
That little guard from Rutgers kept hitting shots. Jacob Young, too. He had 16.
Yeah.
That was one possession win.
That's right.
I guess that was another kind of sneaky. I mean, it wasn't entertaining because
like
it was an
ugly game.
It was in the low 50s, so it wasn't entertaining.
No.
But... Actually, that game was ugly.
I didn't mention the no more DeMonte Williams questions.
I mean, that game had to register somewhere.
That game had the fire alarm at halftime. That was entertaining.
Tim Sinclair.
I'm just glad that we
in
can
the bathroom.
We can sit here and legitimately comb through like 9 games that could be argued to be one of the best
That's
of the
awesome.
Year.
Worst loss besides my
Missouri.
Okay, but I was about ready to say besides the non-conference.
Besides the non-conference?
I mean, Missouri and Miami would be... I think Miami's even the worst because you're at home. And that's where I was like...
Yeah, for sure.
You're because we had so
huge.
Many...
huge.
Yeah.
Weren't ready to play at all.
I was in
no
Arizona,
sense.
I remember, at Lucas's apartment, and I about threw something to the TV. I didn't, but I was like, what is...
Yeah.
And then that was the day where I'm like, well, how many times have I seen this in the last decade? Georgia Tech. Name some random non-conference game that you lost. And I remember saying... You watch, this game will be the nail in the coffin why they won't make the NCAA tournament because you're going to lose to Miami at home.
Well, and the day after was when, I guess I appreciated it, but they were admitting they didn't know what the plays were. They weren't ready in practice. Underwood said, like, he just looked at them and they all had blank stare.
Yeah.
At that point, what was that, like December 2nd or whatever?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, where is this going? Because we're sitting here in December and the players are outright admitting that they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's scary.
Well, when you lost to Missouri... It wasn't personal for Illinois. It was personal for Javon Pickett.
Amen.
And that was
true. 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And
true.
I'll tell you the last one that probably the one, angriest loss for Lon was at Ohio State. Because you know who.
Really?
Of course you know who was going to go crazy. And he double-doubled and had the best game he'd had all season. Like 18 and 13 for that kid near St. Louis out of Belleville. You just knew.
17 and 11.
You just knew it was going to happen, and it just... I was watching that game at Illini End.
Up 8 at half.
Yeah. I was watching with Drew and Kurt, and I looked at both of them when he started going off, and I looked at both of them. I'm like, I'm going to have to leave because I'm going to make a spectacle in Illini End that's not going to be very fun.
Angriest loss was at Maryland.
Okay,
just the way it ended.
Yeah.
Blowing the lead to Maryland the second time.
That was bad, too.
With Van Pelt in the house.
We lost to Michigan State and Maryland twice.
That
and
was
had
it,
and
pretty
three,
much.
It could have won 3 of those games.
You were up by a combined 31 points on Maryland, 15 in one game, 16 in the other. And this isn't like you came out 16-0
no.
and then the rest. Like, at halftime, you were basically up a combined 31 points, more or less. And then, of course, I mean, Michigan State on the road was pretty much...
That was a blowout. But you had the lead, and Tillman gets the putback rebound dunk that puts you up one. Io runs down with the ball, and you're thinking, all right, well, we're good. And then he slips, and you thought you were done. He was done for the year. And so you're sitting there just going, oh, crap.
Maybe that was the angriest. Oh, that wasn't really angry. That was, like, empty.
That was shock and awe at the end of that
pretty
one.
Slumber.
Like, oh. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks to Blake Woodard. That was some good stuff. Okay, we got other stuff going on this week, so make sure you tune in. We're surprising you every day, we promise. We're out of here. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.